In this week's parsha, Parshas Vayera, God appears to Avraham, and then three angels appear in the guise of men. Hang on a moment. So the three angels come to be Mavaser to give the news that Sarah is going to have a baby. And the Torah tells us, Vatitzchak Sarah, that Sarah laughed. And she said, Achre baloisi, oisili edna, after I've gotten so old, am I going to get young again? Vadoini zokein, and my master is old. So then God says to Avraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, how can I have babies? I'm so old. And Sarah denies it, and God says, Loi kitzachok, you did laugh. So there are many questions about why Sarah would suddenly deny the power of God. Rashi brings the Gemara that God actually, in saying to Avraham, why did Sarah laugh, he changed slightly the dialogue, and in fact he misquotes Sarah, where Sarah said, how can I have babies? My master is old. God said, Sarah said, how can I have babies and I'm so old? So the Gemara says, Mishum Darkei Sholom, for the sake of peace. You know, one of the very first Divrei Torah, if it can be called such, that I, as a child, it occurred to me that in fact, there's another sub-dialogue going on here, and that Sarah wasn't talking about Avraham when she said, how can I have children? My master is old. She was talking about God. And so therefore, when God says to Avraham, how could Sarah say that? How can I have children when I'm so old? In fact, God wasn't actually changing anything, because Sarah had been speaking about God, and God was speaking about himself. I don't know what age I was. I think maybe 9 or 10 years old. And I said it at the Shabbos table, and the adults at the table got really, really bent out of shape. In the strongest terms, I don't remember exactly what was said, but I do remember that I was very, very chastised at having dared to suggest that Sarah would say something about God, Va'adoini Zokein, and that I should know better than to jump into saying Torah, you know, making chidushim, when, I should leave that to my elders and betters, and not to try any kind of stuff like that again, you know. Strange, because as I've grown older, and, I'm now in my 50s, from time to time I come across new pirushim, new interpretations and commentary that suggest this very reading of the text. Rebbe Elimelech, he has an interesting way of looking at it. I mean, he asks, what are we suggesting? Sarah, who was perhaps the greatest prophet, certainly the greatest woman prophet, but in some respects, the greatest prophet of all time. I mean, when she was a child, she had this tremendous prophecy, and you know, Avraham gets told everything that Sarah tells you, you listen to her because she's way past you and advanced in prophecy, just listen, just obey her, right? So what's the Hava Min? Rebbe Elimelech asks, what's the the basis for her questioning that God could make her young or make her have babies. So first Reb Elimelech has an answer. You know that sometimes we hear something and we'll get a thought that passes through the mind that we don't even flag it. You know, and Sarah, she laughed with joy when she heard she was having a baby, but there was something, there was an element in that thinking of a hirhur. There was like a thought arose inside her mind that wasn't just laughing in joy, but was kind of scoffing. So that was one explanation that Reb Elimelech has. But then Reb Elimelech says another thing. He says, Sarah was absolutely flabbergasted. She was amazed that she was going to be restored to youth. She was 90 years old. And she was going to be restored to youth. And the Gemara says, Oysa yoim parsa nida, that on that day she had started a menstrual period and she was long past the age of her menses and that she'd start again. So she sees these amazing things, these miraculous things happening in her body. And her laughter is amazement. And Rabbi Meir says, you know, there's a famous Gemara. Gemara says in Brochus, there was this guy who comes in front of Reb Chanina, and when he's davening, he says, he's saying the Shemone Esrei, he says, Hakel, Hagodol, Hagiboyer, V'Hanoiro, and then he goes on, V'ho Adir, V'ho Izuz, V'Hayirui, HaChozok, HaAmitz, HaVadai, Nichbad. He's got all these ways of praising God. So whereas we just say the great, the mighty, the awesome, he starts to add the powerful and the majestic and the fearsome and strong and flexible and sure and honorable. When he's finished, Reb Chanina says to him, you know, sort of sarcastically, have you quite finished praising your master? So the guy's like, well, what's wrong? What's wrong? He said, "In as soon as you stopped, once you stop praising God, how can you stop? It's like a king who has a gazillion, you know, forms of treasure, and there's this person who's talking about the king's silver. It's like, hey, what about the gold? What about the diamonds, right? So,
Chanina says to this man, if not for the fact that Moses himself said, awesome, powerful, great, and the Anshei Knesset HaGdoli, the men of the great assembly, put these words into the meditation, into the Amida, we wouldn't have been able to pick out from all the things to say about God those three. It's been done for us by people whom we trust. And so we say those three, but in deciding to expand on those three, then how dare you stop? So Reb Elimelech says that a little bit of that was going on here, that Sarah was very amazed at the transformation that was happening in her body and in the world, you know, that this couple, where he's nearly 100 years old, Avram's 99 years old, she's 90 years old, that she's suddenly going to have a baby. So, God objects to Sarah's amazement. And he says, Hayipole me Hashem davar. Is anything too amazing for us? Like, is there anything that I can't do? Is anything, like, too wonderful for me? The fact that Sarah is making such a big deal diminishes me, says God to Avram. So Avram, thinking that Sarah has, really scoffed, he says to Sarah, "Why are you scoffing?" And she says, "No, I wasn't scoffing. I was laughing out of amazement." And it's true. She was very amazed, and that's what her laughter was. But you know something? There was some essence, there was some element in that of...
It was much to believe. Yeah, God can do many things, but you know, that's too much to believe. That's how one of the Rebbe Lemelech's interpretations of the subtext here. You know, I think one of the most amazing things about being Jewish is the way we think about miracles. Like when we daven in the Shemoneh Esra, we say, "Atu gibel olam Hashem, you are powerful forever. Mechayim meisim, you resurrect the dead, you bring the dead back to life. Mashiv haruach umoyred hageshem, and you make the wind blow and it rains." And I think that here, in essence, is what we're talking about, that we insist that there's no difference between bringing the dead back to life and making it rain. And that if there's something inside us that tries to split and say, well, you know, it rains naturally, but, you know, gathering up the atoms of people who've been dead 1,000 years and reassembling them into dust and then, you know, making that dust back into living flesh and then putting a life and a consciousness back with its memories and its personality inside that, you know, that's too much. That's big deal. That part of our chutzpah, part of our audacity, our holy audacity, is that we say them both, b'sekira achas. They're in one parenthesis, you know. Inside one parenthesis, you resurrect the dead and you make it rain. And then the next brocha that we make in the Shemoneh Esra is Ata Kodosh, you are holy. And when in between there, we say Kodosh, Kodosh, Kodosh. We say the Kedusha. What's the specialness of God, right? What's the holiness of God? You know, that you have this people who are so chutzpahdik that they can maintain that there's no difference between one and the other, between making it rain and bringing the dead back to life from the beginning of the world. You know, for every one of us that's alive today, I think there must be 5 or 10 dead people, right? Just between us and Adam Harishon, you know, there's a lot of people going to be resurrected, right? Everybody's memory is preserved, everybody's life. And lo yudach mimenu nidach, nothing is thrown away. You know, just every desire that we have still exists somewhere in this matrix, right? So, what is it? Who is it? Who is God? That's the question. And Rebbe Lemelech is saying that Sarah got caught up in small thinking. And God objects and says, "Sarah, why are you small thinking me? I'm so beyond," right? Why does God object to our small thinking? Because God is who we think He is. That's the bris, that's the pact. That God says, "I will be, Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh, I will be who I will be. So whoever you make me, that's who I'll be. The Gemara says that in the future, in the future, God is going to bring back all the idols to life. All the pagan gods of ancient times and, of course, of our modern times. They're going to be manifest as personalities. And these gods, like Ra in front of the Egyptians and the other gods of the different nations, Chmosh in front of the Ammonites, the God will say to the people, like, what were you doing when you were worshipping me? What were you thinking? I mean, you manifested me. This, look at me. You know, what am I? I'm just this projection of your desires, you know, and your fears, even more than your desires, your fears, your small thinking. This, look at me. Powerless. I'm just I'm just an image of all your small, petty hatreds and whinging small-mindedness. This you worshipped, right? But you know something? God is also going to be manifest in front of the world. Now, God is betting that on that day, God's going to be very powerful, because he won't be a manifestation of our pettiness, a projection of our small-mindedness. That in fact, it's going to be, the whole world is going to be amazed at the God that we have created, at the image that we are manifesting, that a God who is, on the one hand, Mechayim Meisim, meaning everything that ever was still is. Nothing has died in the sense of disappeared or gone away. That everything still exists within God and can be just manifest, remade as it was. And the Gemara says that the Osid Mesim Lechayas Bemumon, that all the dead are going to come back to life with the same blemishes that they had during their lifetime. Otherwise, they'll say, hey, you said you're going to bring us back to life, but this is not the body that I had, right? So everybody's going to come back at the age at which they died and with the infirmities that they had acquired through a lifetime and so on. And then there's going to be a healing, right? So it means that nothing's gone, nothing's disappeared, nothing's faded away. There's a persistence of memory throughout time, as though everything coexists, right? On the other hand, Mashivuruach Amoyer Dageshem, right? We believe God makes it rain. So there's not just God as the recorder, but God is the active agent, and that there's no difference. And God will say to the nations of the world, no, can you compete? And God will say to all the pagan idols, no, you can compete. Right? And then we, the Jewish people, will have magnified and glorified and exalted the name of God. And that's the meaning of Yiskadal v'Yiskadashmira. It's a process that we have to go through all the time, because there's something in the psyche, there's something in us human beings that wants to turn away from the glory and somehow get bogged down in minutiae and in small-mindedness. And one of the things I wanted to do is to bring a Torah from Reb Shimshon of Ostropole, the great Kabbalist who was a Peshlishi from the Ari. He was like just two generations removed from the Ari himself. And he asks a question on this week's Seder. He says, if God is trying to protect Sarah, you know, Sarah is like denying the power, the possibility. She says, how can I have babies? My husband's so old. So then God, in protecting Sarah by saying, and Sarah said, how can I have babies? I'm so old. Hasn't really done her a favor, right? She still comes off as sounding like she doesn't think God can do such a big miracle. And how could that be when Sarah's this great, amazing prophet that Avraham's prophecy is just like nothing in comparison, you know? So like, what are we saying? So, I mean, if you argue that God is trying to protect Sarah from sounding like she said, how can I have babies when my husband's off? Fair enough, right? But still, Sarah doesn't really come off looking good. So Reb Shimshon of Ostropole has a completely different way of interpreting this. He says like this, every prophet sees God as a reflection of himself or herself. So when we came out of Egypt and we felt, you know, we all our young men between the age of 20 and 60, 600,000, bearing arms, v'chamushim, olu b'nei Yisroel me'eretz Mitzrayim, we came out armed with spears and whatever, bows and arrows or tomahawks or whatever it was. So we see Hashem ish melchoma. When we look at God, we see God the warrior, right? When God is on the mountain at Sinai and Moshe comes up to receive the Torah and he brings with him the Zakenim, it says they see God kezokin yoshev bi yeshiva. They see him like an old man, a rosh yeshiva, sitting at his books in his study. Daniel sees God as an old man, levushi ketelik chivel, with white clothing, v'sa'areshi ka'amanoki, and the hair on his head like pure white wool. So Reb Shimshon says, the reason is because we see God as a reflection of ourselves. And so, when Sarah was young, and in her prophecy she saw God young. As she got older, in her prophecy, when she saw God, God was old. So now, on this day, when she saw God old. She said, if I see God old, it means that I'm old. And you know, the Gemara, the Reb Shimshon brings the Gemara in Nida. The Gemara in Nida says that if an old woman who had stopped, she'd reached menopause, and then she had a period, she doesn't have to worry that maybe she has starting her periods again. And halachically we say daya shata. She doesn't have to count backwards to her last period and so on to the last time she checked herself. So Sarah didn't feel young. And she said, I don't feel young. Obviously I don't feel young because Adoni Zokain. When I see God, he's old. So how can I be having a baby? If I was having a baby, the Gemara says that's a whole other definition of a woman. So if I'm young to have a baby, then God will be young. So God says to Avraham, Lamma tzachka sora lemor hafum nam eled va'anizo kanti.
Why does Sora say, I'm old? You know why she says I'm old? Because she's old.
Hayipole me Hashem davar, is anything too amazing for me?
You know what's going to happen?
It's going to be next year.
Lo'es chayo, when I come back next year and Sora is going to have a baby, then she'll feel young, then she'll see me as young.
So the first thing that struck me about this Torah was, this is another one of those interpretations of the text that I had, that I was like, you know, something was nudging me when I was 9 years old, that, yeah, Sora is referring to God, and when God says Ani Zakanti, he's referring to himself, because that's really what was being said. There's a really a profound question here, you know. How do we see God? And you know, if I were to stop right now and ask you to write on a piece of paper your image of God, just in words, you know, adjectives. I know for me, one of them would be Father. Because I have a very difficult time separating the image of my father and the image of fatherhood and my forefathers and so on, the whole biblical story. I have a lot of difficulty separating that from my image of God. You know, that the word father and God just keep on coming back together again. However hard I try and separate God from my father who died 14 years ago, you know, and try and like pull him apart, you know, so that I can treat each one properly. It's very difficult. They keep on, you know, amalgamating my mind. Another word I have to confess that comes up again and again is the word old. It's very hard for me to think of God and not to think of the word old as an adjective. And that's what God's complaint is to Sora. And why? Why did Sora think of God as old? Because she thought of herself as old. Shlomi used to say, "Hein om kelovi yokum." You know, one of the most amazing things about the Jewish people is that doesn't matter how we slam down, doesn't matter how hard they beat us over the head and for how long, as soon as they stop, we jump up like a young lion cub. It's like all our koiches are fresh, right? And we get up after the Holocaust and we don't waste time complaining and bang, you know, we make a country. Who heard of such a thing, right? It's an amazing thing, right? And you know something? Someone who can do that can think of God as young. One of the elements of thinking of God that gets in the way is our own experience of self, right? I know I'm in my 50s, but you know, the 40-year-old Hershey didn't die, didn't go away, still there. And underneath the 40-year-old, the 30-year-old Hershey's still here. And you know, in a sense, you could peel me like an onion, right? And the 7-year-old Hershey, and the 3-year-old Hershey, and the newborn Hershey are still here, right? And if my memory is still there, then Hershey inside the womb is still here. So I think, when I think of self, I think of layers of experience. And now I'm thinking of myself as old. And I think of God the same way. Because that's how I think of linear time. And that's how I think of narrative. And they are illusions. And not only are they illusions and
projections and just coping mechanisms, but when it comes to thinking about God, it's really toxic. Because God is not this huge composite of the narrative and experiences. God is not the ultimate adult. If anything, God is the ultimate baby, having the first experience. It's really important that we not laden our own stuff, our own heaviness, onto our image of the divine, because then we end up Adoni Zokin, God's old. And then we're amazed at miracles. Why should we be amazed at miracles? Why should we be amazed at miracles? In fact, Rebbe Lemelech says, Rebbe Lemelech says, V'nei Yisrael holchu bi'abosha b'seich hayom, and the children of Israel walked on dry land in the middle of the sea. Rebbe Lemelech says, because the amazement that we experienced at the splitting of the Red Sea is really, you know, it's just more of that stuff, that splitting within the cell. Oh, it's so amazing. You know, I'm like, no, the real greatness of the Jewish people at the sea was that we were now able to walk b'yabosho b'seich hayam. When we walked on dry land, we were now walking in the split Red Sea. That our consciousness changed, and we realized at that moment that God is God of everything, and it's no more difficult for us to breathe in the air than it is for us to walk through the Red Sea. That the problem is our small thinking, right? And that we have to stop being amazed at the miraculous nature of the splitting of the Red Sea and realize that every footstep that we walk on dry land is 10 times more miraculous. And that life itself is miraculous. And that's one of the poverties of living in the modern world, is that we are being taught all the time that life is ordinary, and that you know, Darwin's theory of evolution and the process of life just follows. It's just natural. And somehow the fact that something is natural, meaning that it will happen on its own, is somehow supposed to diminish our sense of it being miraculous. When in actual fact, when we talk about life on Earth being, you know, natural, it's quite true. You can explain everything in terms of the laws of nature. In that sense, it's natural. You know, but if you know anything about science and math and, you know, cosmology and so on, you know, just the amount of gravity that exists in the world and stuff like that, you know, there's a number that has 60 zeros in it. If there was one zero different, the world would collapse. And if there was one zero more, the world would just fly apart. You know, I mean, the amount of gravity, the amount of matter that exists in the universe is so fortuitously put together that they invented a pseudo-scientific thing called the anthropic principle to explain it. You know, that if it wasn't like that, we wouldn't be here. Therefore, we have no right to admire it, you know, as being so miraculous. The point I'm making is that the fact that natural law can explain everything in existence doesn't make it any less meshuggah and miraculous. And the poverty of living in this generation is that, in spite of the fact that we now have tools, with which to look into the smallest microcosm, and also we have the tools with which to look into the most gigantic macrocosm. And if anybody spends any time with a book, or with a telescope, or with, you know, a microscope, your mind can be blown into a gazillion pieces just with the amazement at everything that's happening. The Gemara says one of the names of God is Shaddai. And the Gemara says, what does that mean? Sha'oma lo'olamai dai. God who said enough to the universe. So, when God created the universe and said, Yehi or, let there be light. So, everything starts to fly apart. Like, if you imagine the Big Bang, right? Everything's flying apart. At a certain point, God says, die, enough. So, there's a Torah from the Rebbe Rabbunim. Rebbe Rabbunim's question was always, why stop? Why prevent things from getting bigger? Like, why would God say stop? Like, what was bothering him if he kept on getting bigger, right? There's somehow this idea that everything has to be kept down, you know? And the Rebbe Rabbunim of Pshischa was never in favor of keeping things down. You know, he was, let's spread out, let's go, let's investigate, let's expand our consciousness. So why would God say that? So he said a few words, and all his disciples spent the next 150 years trying to understand what the Rebbe Rabbunim meant when he said, God said, there's enough here in the universe from which to see me. So, the Ishbitzer says, well, God was saying, there's enough glory to be had from every single thing in the universe. That the universe doesn't have to get more complicated than it is. And when Rabbunim was talking, people had no idea what he meant. But now, today, right, that we can look down inside the atom, and we can look to the beginnings of the universe with instruments like the Hubble telescope, right? There's nothing in the universe that isn't shouting the glory of God. It doesn't matter how big you look at the universe or how small you look at the universe. Everything that you look at is this most amazing. So how come we live in this world where everything is trying to convince us of the ordinariness? Now, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know how antibiotics work. You've got this gram-positive this and schmaus. I don't know how it works, right? But I'm sure if I were a doctor who really understands chemistry and really understands biology and understands and can imagine inside my mind something on the cellular level and even smaller than the cellular level, you know, how amino acids within a cell and mitochondria, all these things are working, you know, then when I think about how antibiotic prevents somebody from dying from an infection, it's like it's mind-blowing, you know? So, you and I, we're living in a world that's so full of amazement, but everything that's happening around us is trying to convince us, well, antibiotics, they work because, you know, it's a simple mechanism, right? It's nothing. Nothing is simple. Everything that we're doing is amazing. So that is what we can take from this week's Sedra, that anytime we want to know where we are and who we are, ask yourself, how do I think of God? What are the adjectives, the first five adjectives that come to mind? And if one of them is old, then I have to ask myself, what is it about myself that feels old? That feels weighed down with experiences and, you know, covered in this, you know, fog or this glue? What is it about me that makes me think that I'm old?
mean, I know the answer, right? My hearing is not what it used to be. My eyesight's not what it used to be. You know, I have those, you know, my memory's not what it used to be. I'm not as fast as I used to be. I have those simonim of aging. But you know something? Just the first 5 seconds of thinking about that tells me, well, you know, God doesn't have any of those symptoms of aging. So, like, why am I projecting that? Well, maybe because there's a deeper feeling of oldness inside myself. Like, what's the feeling of oldness? You know, I once was looking at a plant. I was growing a plant on my windowsill. And I noticed there was a few days where the plant was young. And every night, as the sun went down, the petals would kind of gather in. And then the plant came into full bloom. And that night, the petals didn't gather themselves in again. Right? It's like a message, right? Feeling old, I mean, I can be in full bloom and still feel old because I don't feel like I have that koyach to gather myself in again. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to get past that. We have to find within ourselves that divinity. You know, I could never understand, what does it mean? The Gemara says that God creates worlds and destroys worlds and says, you know, I don't like these. Oh, let me try again. And then he says, Dein Hanyon Li. Oh, I like these worlds, right? I'm going to stick with this. And so we have our solar system and we have our galaxy and so on. But prior to that, God had been creating. It's hard for me to think of an adult creating worlds and destroying worlds. This happens if you know what you want, go make it, right? But if I think of a child, right, creating and destroying, yeah, I mean, I can understand that perfectly, right? And one of the things that we need to do for ourselves intellectually and for ourselves spiritually is give ourselves permission to throw away all these images of God that tie God into adjectives that are toxic. And if it's helpful to think of God as the ultimate child rather than the ultimate adult, and to understand the narrative of the universe as the universe is being run by a child rather than an adult, if it works for you, let it work. But only because you can see inside yourself that ability to learn, to grow, to do all those things that a child still can do, which is to become something. And when we feel that we can no longer become anything, because we have become and we have matured and we are now, you know, stuck, and that the narrative has rubbed a deep groove, then we're no longer able. So I just want to say that Yiddishkeit in general, Judaism as a whole, Rabbinic Judaism, you know, that those aspects of it that seem to point to the direction that we should follow in, that, you know, to thinking of God as an old man or old anything, you know, that we have to resist that. You know, that's not really the point. Because you know where that comes from? That comes from we Jews feeling, oi, mekenshenisht, we're past it, we can't be young again. But hein am kelovi, we are like we're a nation that can get up like a lion cub, just spring up, you know? And each of us within us, we have that ability to spring up again. It's we mustn't fall into that thinking that, oi, it's too late for me, you know, by me it's not going to happen anymore. Maybe by my children it will happen. This is what God is saying to Sarah. Hayipolei me Hashem davar. Is anything too amazing for God? If anything seems too amazing for God to you, then there's something about yourself that you're not thinking right. And you need to get into your childhood again. Like Sarah, he says, I'm going to come back in a year from now. You're going to have a baby. I know you're going to feel differently. You know, Metz Hashem, we should come back in a year from now and we should feel young again.